You know, the book of Luke, we've been looking at Luke in our Bible study. We've been doing a Bible study on Luke for quite some time, and we're getting towards the end. We're actually in chapter 24, so we're down to our last, about 10 verses. And a couple of weeks ago, we were looking specifically at the instance, this is after the resurrection of Jesus, and he's already shown himself. We've already seen the road to Emmaus, where Jesus, two of the disciples were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and Jesus appears to them. They don't recognize him, but they're talking with him, and he reveals eventually who he is to them. As they break the bread, they see who he is. But he's taught them all the things of the Word, all the things of the prophets from the beginning up through him, you know, demonstrating how the Word of God all points right to Jesus Christ. He reveals that all to them. And then it says that those two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus, once they were in Emmaus and they had broken bread, and Jesus revealed himself to them, and then Jesus disappeared. And it says that they made their way back to Jerusalem because they wanted to share this good news. This had been the third day. This is the third day after Jesus had been put in the tomb, after he had died. And so they had this great news, and they wanted to go back and share it with their disciples of the resurrection of Jesus, of what they had seen. So they make the trek all the way back to Jerusalem. And this is what we see taking place in Luke chapter 24. I'm going to start reading in verse number 32. So this is just with the two disciples who had been on the road to Emmaus. And they said to one another, "Did our hearts not burn within us while he talked to us on the way? And while he opened up the scriptures?" And then they arose that same hour, and they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. So they mentioned all of this. Now, this is what happens next. So here's these two disciples. They make the trek all the way back. They'd seen Jesus. In their joy and their zeal, they make their trek all the way back to Jerusalem to meet with the disciples and those that were gathered with the disciples. They shared this good news, and now, as this is happening, here's what we read in verse number 36 on. "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." So here Jesus appears to all of them. The disciples come, they say, "Hey, this is the good news. We saw Jesus, he appeared to us. When we broke the bread, we walked with him. When he broke the bread, our eyes were open, we saw, hey, this is, you know, our hearts burn within us. Jesus is alive, we've seen him." They're all excited about it. And then Jesus appears, walks into the room and appears in front of them and says, "Peace be unto you." So here's Jesus, risen from the dead. This is the one that they had been hoping for. This is more than they had hoped for. They were hoping that Jesus was going to be just merely a conqueror of Rome. What they got was Jesus, who was a conqueror of sin, who was a conqueror of all things, who had won victory in every area of the lives of all men who would walk in him and receive him and be in his peace. So all that they wanted, and more, far more than they wanted, has now been demonstrated to them. And here's Jesus standing before them, and he says, "Peace be unto you." And do they act in peace? No, it says in verse number 37, "But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit." So here's the culmination of all the things they've been hoping for, all the things they've been believing, and you know what? Far more than what they hoped for. Far more than what they imagined, because that's who Jesus is. You see, in your life, you're looking to Jesus, and you're hoping, you're praying, you're speaking the word, you're hoping that his word comes to pass in your life. You want to see his word come to pass in your life. You want to see the victories. You want to see the victories over your marital problems, over your finances, over your job, over your family situations, over your emotions, over your depression, over your health issues. You want to see the promises of Jesus come to pass in your life. And you've got in your mind, even as you hear my voice today, you've got in your mind things that you're praying about and you're believing, you're wanting to see these things done. I tell you this, the best that you're hoping for, what Jesus has, always far exceeds that which we think or imagine in our own minds. That which Jesus has for us far exceeds even that which we would hope or imagine for ourselves. That's what he has for us. That's the good news. That's why he's worthy of praise. He's worthy of praise because he's God. But this is the reason that we can praise him every day. We can praise him because of the reality that what he has established and what he has prepared far exceeds that which I would even think or imagine, my best hopes and dreams. It exceeds. Here's the disciples. Jesus has established and done more than they could have thought or asked. And he even speaks to them and says, "Peace be unto you." And their reaction is fear. And their first reaction, because this is the carnal mind, this is the way the carnal mind works, they start rationalizing and thinking, well, what can this be? How can this be? This must be a spirit because we watched Jesus die. So even the disciples, who Jesus had said at least three times that we know of, at least three times, Jesus has explained to them beforehand that he was going to go to Jerusalem, that he would die, and they would rise again. He explained it to them, and still they didn't understand it, and still here he stands before them. Even after hearing the testimony of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they still, their minds, their rational minds, their carnal minds, rationalize and try to explain away what Jesus has done, and this is what we do. Whatever you're praying for today, whatever it is that the need is that you're facing, Jesus has already provided for. It's already done. He did the work. The work was completed. He said from the cross, "It is finished." He's done the work. It's all finished. He's taken, the word tells us, he's taken the keys of sin and death, and he's given them back to us. This is what Jesus says. These are the promises. This is what he's done. So whatever you're praying for, whatever you're believing for, it's already done. It's already established. Now your carnal mind is going to tell you that it can't be. Your carnal mind is going to tell you that it's impossible. Your carnal mind's going to rationalize. Because the things of the spiritual are contrary. So contrary, it's contrary to our intuitive nature. Intuitively, we just learn to think because we're raised in this carnal world. We're raised in a physical world. So intuitively, we just assume and presume that things are going to take place according to the natural world that we've lived in all of our lives. And so when we start to see or experience things that are of the spiritual, we rationalize them and we try to get them to squeeze and fit into our limited understanding of things from the perception, from the perspective, and that very small little perception, that small little lens that is the physical and the natural. So the disciples are terrified, and they start to rationalize and say they've seen a spirit. And here Jesus says to them, and he said to them, "Why are you disturbed and troubled? And why do such doubts and questions arise in your hearts?" Whatever you're believing for Jesus for today, whatever that need is that you have, if you're believing for him supernaturally, if you're believing for healing in your body and you're not seeing it, your mind is going to tell you, "See, I told you so," because it doesn't work that way. You've gotten sick before and you've always been sick. People around you are sick and you're going to be sick. It's the way of the world. If you're believing for something supernatural, like the healing and deliverance from cancer, your rational mind is going to tell you, "You see, this is not the way it works. People get cancer and they die. That's the way the world works." That's what the rational, that's what the carnal mind says. But the spiritual mind says something else. The spiritual mind looks to Jesus and realizes that there is something more real. There's something greater than this physical world that we live in, and it's the spiritual. It's the supernatural. And this is what Jesus is demonstrating to the disciples when he appears before them. And he appears before them, Jesus, who they saw die on the cross. They watched him as he was bloodied. They watched him as his flesh was torn from his body. They watched him as he was nailed to the cross, and they watched him die. They watched him being taken down from the cross and laid in the tomb. And they saw that he was in the tomb for those 3 days. Everything in their natural mind said that it's over, it's finished. Because that's what the natural mind does. The natural mind only sees things through the limited perspective of the intuitive nature that we have from what we've learned intuitively over a life of living in the natural world. And you know what? None of these men had seen. They saw Jesus raise people from the dead. But it still is counterintuitive to the way that we're taught. And so when they watched Jesus die and all of their hopes were dashed because they didn't believe the promise, they believed what they saw. They believed what the circumstances said. And that's why it left them here, and that's why it leaves them here totally unprepared for what Jesus has done and unprepared for seeing Jesus walk into the room, risen again after they had watched him die and watched him be buried. And even when he said, to them, peace be unto you. They still were afraid, and they still struggled to believe, which leads Jesus to say, why do you doubt? Look, Jesus is saying to you and I today, why are you doubting? Why did you expect less? Why are you expecting less than what the Word promises? Why are you expecting what the natural world has taught you? Why are you not expecting something more? Why are you not anticipating something greater, the greater things, the promises? Why are you not anticipating and expecting those things? This is what you and I should be expecting. Jesus is saying to the disciples, as he says to you and I at this moment, with whatever you're facing, why are you limiting your vision to the natural world and to what the natural world has taught you? Because the carnal mind can never understand the spiritual truths and realities. Take your mind out of the carnal. Every time you read the Word, as we're reading the Word right now, this is life. This is the spiritual realm. This is laying hold of eternity, the eternal life. This is reading the Word is laying hold of the eternal life and bringing that eternity here into this natural realm. So Jesus is saying to you and I today, why are you doubting? Why are you afraid? Where do you leave off? Verse number 38. He questions them. It says, why are you doubting and questioning? Why do these things arise in your hearts? Verse number 39. See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Feel and handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. If right now you've been believing for something, you've been speaking the word, you've been praying about something, and you haven't seen it done, you haven't seen it come to pass. And maybe, just maybe, you've prayed for things in the past and you haven't seen them done. So when you pray now, your mind says, I'm not sure it's going to work because I haven't seen it work before. I've prayed and I've failed. I haven't seen the promises come to pass. This is what the mind says, but it's what the natural mind says. Listen to what Jesus is saying as he's speaking to these disciples, and listen to what he's saying to you and I today. Because he's saying to the disciples, you're looking at things from the physical. You have to look at things from the spiritual. I am the truth. I'm the life. And the things in the spiritual realm have already been established, and the things in the spiritual realm are superior to the things in the physical realm. Why do you doubt? And then he says, because he sees they doubt, and he says, now listen to this. Listen to these words. He says, see my hands. Jesus is saying, see my hands and see my feet, that it is I myself. Feel and handle me. I want you to focus on those words. Jesus said to the disciples when they were doubting, Jesus said, feel and handle me. He knew that they were doubting. He knew that they were struggling, that their minds and their vision was locked on the physical and unable to look towards the spiritual. He knew that. And to give them the key to be able to look beyond the physical and to be able to lay hold, to see the spiritual, to see the truth of the spiritual, and to grab hold of it, this is what he said. He said, handle me. Touch me and feel me. Handle me. Touch the scars that are in my hands. Touch my feet. Touch my side. Touch my flesh. He said, these are his words, handle me. If you're praying for something today, and you've prayed for it, but you haven't seen it come to pass, and that has been the history, Jesus is saying to you today, handle me. Handle me. Touch me. Handle me. And you're saying to yourself, I hear that. I want to do that. How do I do that? How do I handle Jesus? The disciples had him right there. They got to touch him. He's not right here in front of me, physically manifested. How do I handle him? Because do you hear the words? Do you hear what Jesus is saying to you? From the Amplified Bible, see my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Feel and handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones. He's saying, feel, hear him saying this to you. Feel and handle me. How do you feel? How do you handle Jesus? You handle him with this word. I'm holding up the Bible. You've got the word of God. This is Jesus. Jesus is the word. It's not that Jesus is this Bible. This Bible is leather and it's paper. But it's the truth of the words. It's the power of the words because Jesus is the Word. This is the Word of God. And Jesus says, handle me. The more that I handle this, the more that I'm spending time in here, the more that I'm reading in here, and if my doubts are rising and my faith is wavering, that's why Romans says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The more that I hear the word of God, the more that I handle the word of God, I'm handling Jesus. And you know what? The disciples handled Jesus and they believed. Where their faith had been lacking because their vision, their eyes were on the physical and not the spiritual. What transformed that and turned that around, what gave them the ability to see beyond the physical and the limitations of the physical, the small, little, tiny perspective that is the physical, what got them to look beyond that lens and to look through the lens of the spiritual, which is everything. It's the greater. It is the promises. It's where all the things that Jesus has done for you, it's where you lay hold of them. And how did Jesus get them when he said, be at peace, and they weren't at peace? Maybe Jesus has said to you in your situation and circumstances, be at peace, and you didn't feel at peace. Then Jesus is saying the same thing to you that he said to the disciples. Why are you doubting? Because he can see that you're doubting. And when you're doubting, his next words to you are, handle me. Handle me. Jesus is telling you to handle him. Pick up the word today. Because when you spend time in the word, you don't have to look for the word. You don't have to look for the verse that... You've got this entire Bible. You can't try to find today that one verse. Maybe the Holy Spirit will lead you to it. But you can't go into the Bible and just try, I got to find that one verse that speaks to my one specific need. Just read the Word. Handle the Word. You start spending time in the Word, the Holy Spirit's going to take you where you need to be to give you the truth. And just handling the Word is going to build your faith and confidence. And it's going to give you the ability to look beyond the physical, to look beyond the physical, natural lens, and to look through that spiritual lens and to receive and walk in all that he has for you.